And this is Richard Crutchbone speaking to you from the Festival Hall. As you can hear, we are soon to become part of musical history when the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra's main guest this season, Igor Kokolov, the world-famous Slobodian cellist and Olympic cyclist, will play Ishtak Stench's Fifth Concerto for full orchestra and massed bicycles. Now, so far, this great work has only been performed in Slobodia, but with Igor Kokolov's Detection, we can at last hear this modern musical masterpiece for ourselves. And as you can hear, the audience of music lovers and cyclists has gone wild with excitement as Igor Kokolov appears on the platform holding his priceless Stradivarius cello and wearing his bicycle cleat. Every inch of his great, powerful frame is quivering with that almost legendary, fiery, Slobodian, dipsy temperament of his, which, coupled with his mastery of the cello and his knowledge of each Sacrosanctus' great musical cycle, is the great secret of his success on the concert platform. If only you two could be here to share this magical moment of musical memory and magnificent souvenir treasure amid the cherished recollection of the true music lover and team psychic. No matter where in the world he or she may come from. Oh, it is a wonderful moment. Igor Kokolov, we salute you, not only the Slobodian greatest tricycle musical star, but also an Olympic champion as well. 3 times winner of the Pilsner Peace Prize and the father of 37 children. This glorious moment of my life.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to the Quentin Cobbling Hour. I'm standing outside the vast doors of our great National Gallery, and for the next 60 minutes, you are going to have the privilege of wandering around with me through the gallery's impressive chambers to enjoy the delights of Picasso at his most provocative. Yes, what a fine display of the great master's Catalan talent it is. Yes. Very soon now, we will be treating ourselves to those little shivers of ecstatic delight that Picasso lovers invariably seem to feel in the presence of the great master's genius. Yes. Yes, it's such a unique gathering together of so many of the great master's masterpieces in one exhibition. And it's a rare feast for the art connoisseur. And we are so lucky to be able to partake of this veritable orgy of color and line, shape and form, for some of his exquisite little maquettes and objets trouvés are here as well. Yes. Yes. These great doors that I am knocking upon are by the immortal Grinlin Gibbons, to whom we owe such an enormous door debt. Yes. As you can hear, they are very solid. Very solid indeed. A beautiful example of that great door designer's great door design. The marble steps that I am standing on are made of marble, as one would expect, and are probably not by Grinlin Gibbons, but probably the work of one of the great Victorian staircase designers who have left us such a glorious legacy of marble steps and imposing stone stairways. The pavement I see is by the London Pavement Company, whose fine work we take so much for granted. And yes, this brick that I'm picking up now is almost certainly a product of the London Brick Company, who supply most of the bricks for buildings in our mighty metropolis. Yes. This window which I'm rattling is also a fine example of British window making. And it appears to open onto a side gallery. And I guarantee that very soon now we'll be inside that gallery. And in just a few more minutes we'll be able to view the marvelous masterpieces of the great Picasso himself. Yes, very soon now we'll be among that El Dorado paintings, the Picasso exhibition. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. Now, obviously, by the smell of turpentine and varnish, I think I can safely say that this side gallery is one of those havens of art conservation, the restoration area of the National. Throughout the world, of course, famed for its fine conservation work on some of the greatest masterpieces known to man. Yes, I thought so. Yes, I'm right. As usual, I can dimly see many unframed canvases and panels stacked against the walls and benches, loaded with brushes and cleaning fluids. And Yes, indeed. Here in this long, high-ceilinged room must be gathered many of the great secrets of art restoration, the brilliant and, if I may say so, painstaking work of master craftsmen. Ouch! Ouch! Anyway, I can confidently say that in a very few moments, our eyes will be confronted by the greatest collection of Picasso paintings that Great Britain has ever seen. Of course, if you'll just follow me. Oh, God. Ow! Oh, sweet Jesus. I want me a moment. Okay, well, just got a quick wide shot of the fire. Zoom in on me, okay? One, two, okay. Testing, okay. Okay, guys, here we go.
Hello, viewers, this is Clyde Doppler, reporting for NBC News from London, England. I am standing outside Britain's famed National Gallery, where a four-alarm fire is presently threatening this great treasure house of the art world. Is it sabotage? The work, perhaps, of some fanatical terrorist, of ultra-activist militancy? Or is it a natural disaster, due to some careless Philistine? My God! Some gallant art lover is still inside the great gallery, risking his or her life to save at least a few of the world's great masterpieces.
Oh, hey, hi there! Hey, Quentin! I didn't recognize you for a moment. Jesus, what the hell are you doing here? I'm covering the cast exhibition live on the BBC. What are you doing here? I'm covering the disastrous fire that is threatening to destroy Britain's famous National Gallery, the NBC. Oh my God, this is here.
Now, this is Quentin Dunling, well-known British broadcaster and art and cookery critic. Quentin, have you any message of hope for the millions of art lovers all over the world who are watching these tragic scenes?
Horror-struck. Yes, I am.
Oh, mighty one, son of the sun, moon, and stars, emperor of the great oasis of Suleiman, the magnificent prince of the
country. Yes. Never mind the bloody commercial. Get on with it.
Oh, great sheik, Her Britannic Majesty's representative, His Excellency the British Ambassador. Sir Hector Mainwaring.
Mannering, Sir Hector Mannering. Your most serene highness.
His Serene Highness, Son of the Sun, Moon, and Stars, etc., etc., greets Her Britannic Majesty's humble representative and bids you welcome, Sir Hector. His Divine Highness further extends the usual hospitalities and customary extravagant offers of anything and everything that His Serenity possesses, with the usual proviso that you will not take advantage, never nor whatsoever, of any of it.
Yes, and in reciprocation, I bring Her Britannic Majesty's warmest greetings.
Inshallah.
Yes, so perhaps then we can discuss the renewal of the existing oil treaty between our two great countries.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yes, well, you see, before we discuss the treaty, Sir Hector, we must, of course, extend to you, our distinguished guest, the courtesy of our traditional Bedouin hospitality. Yes. Pleased to be seated, Your Excellency. Here, the lodge girl will seat you there. That's it. Beside His Most Serene Highness. First, please drink a glass of muck. It's our custom, our ceremonial beverage.
Yes.
To our two great nations under treaty.
Yes, quite so. delicious, quite
much.
Now, with regard to the renewal of the treaty, my government feels that a more reasonable figure per barrel
have not
be
yet
around, I suppose.
The required formalities according to Bedouin protocol. It's your turn with the next toast.
Yes, I propose a toast to the continuing health of His Serene Highness and the amicable relations between our two great
worlds.
The old twit couldn't agree more.
I tell you, Your Excellency.
Oh, don't distress yourself, Your Excellency. The old goat can't speak a blind word of English. Not a bloody syllable. Can you, you ancient bag of important bone?
Quite delightful, really.
Well, what is muck exactly, Your Excellency?
Well, muck? Well, it's the Ashkan. God!
Is it? Oh, God. You must have an awful lot of animals. All millions of the bloody things. I keep telling old Four Eyes here that what we need is tanks and planes and guns and all the other advantages of Western civilization. And all we get are more and more camels. He's a bloody camel freak.
Camels have arrangement. We in Britain produce some of the finest weaponry in the civilized world, you know. Perhaps a large part of our oil treaty could well be in arms.
Not on your Nelly Bly. You give us petrodollars and we will buy the arms what we want. None of your second-hand war surplus Argentine crap for us. Oh, God, Droopy Draws wants some more muck. I'm sorry, Sir Hector. You'll have to oblige. Drink up and smile. Drink up and smile. Oh, my God. Well, now, drinkies are over. What did you want to ask you, Serene Highness, old slobber chops here?
Well, I wonder if
oh, naturally, yes. It's the first on the left and behind the second rock on the right.
Yes, thank you very much, dear.
Not behind the first rock. That's the ladies.
This is Clyde Quigley, reporting from Tokyo, Japan. Tonight we are about to learn the secrets of one of Japan's greatest martial arts. Beside me is Professor Oshito Yakematsu, one of Japan's foremost exponents of the murderous martial art of jiu-jitsu. What exactly is jiu-jitsu, Professor?
Jiu-jitsu is very old Japanese method of self-defense, teaching muscular control of whole body, building indomitable will and self-control, and incidentally, very effective in severe cases of constipation.
Fascinating. What parts of the body are used mostly in this murderously dangerous martial art?
Only the forefinger.
Only the forefinger? The mind boggles at the damage a skilled forefinger could do.
True. Over there are Mikimoto Hababasha, Yokohama reigning jiu-jitsu champion, and his jiu-jitsu instructor, Sakaro Notatosa, eminent Yokohama physician, surgeon, and flower arranger.
And they just fight with their forefingers?
That is correct. But jiu-jitsu is no ordinary martial art. Jiu-jitsu require many more years of intensive and demanding training. So, for 2 years, jiu-jitsu student stick his finger into cold rice pudding. This hardens forefinger and also finds use for cold rice pudding. Now, digital student, shove his finger into stale Madeira cake for 1 year. And lastly, for 1 month only, digital student, finish off the forefinger hardening process by shoving his forefinger into a bowl of broken biscuit. This finally produces desired effect on digital student, who now becomes the proud possessor of number one rigid digit.
That must be a deadly weapon in the right hand.
Precisely.
How does a digital master use his rigid digit?
Sparingly. Once digital student becomes possessor of rigid digit, he has to carry four-finger license. All Japanese digital masters are known to police and duly licensed to carry hardened forefinger.
How many are there?
Forefinger?
No, licensed digital masters.
Three.
Three?
Three. These two are the humble self.
Incredible.
But true. The three main attack position with digital forefinger are one, means Paizo, in which Hamabasha sticks finger in Dr. Notatota's left eye. Two, second position, Huta. See how Hamabasha sticks forefinger at Dr. Notatota's left nostril. Third position, three, Gobitsu, in which Hamabasha sticks both fingers in corners of Dr. Notatota's mouth and stretches wide.
What we see about the jutsu?
Suddenly, Nijijumata, Onga!
That was wonderful. That was just marvelous how Dr. Notatota's finger threw Hamabasha through that window. Most exciting. Tell me, is Dr. Notatota famous in Japan?
As digital master? No. As gynecologist? Very popular.
This new book, which is out today, is called Battle Symphony. And it's more than just a book. It's the latest in a long line of war memoirs written about World War II. But this one is written with a difference. Here in the studio tonight with me, we have the author, Brigadier General Sir Arthur Beatby, DSO, RACM, Musicians Union.
And Bar.
He is, of course, the British Army's Director of Music, retired.
Good evening, sir.
Battle Symphony is a major work, General. It shows us a new side of war. Grim and enthralling, but somehow...
harmonious?
Well, I suppose so.
War, sir. War is hell. A series of discords with a continually changing tempo. Brutto, large tacit periods, and then the allegro con brillo. And before you can say allegro per non troppo, it's all crescendo to the finale, forte fortissimo, right to the last timpani roll and the ultimate cymbal crash. I've conducted a few musical battles in my time, and I can tell you, sir, war is hell. Usually in C-sharp major.
Yes, quite so, sir. Now, you were, of course, on the Army's musical reserve, were you not, in 1939, when World War II started?
Quite right, quite right. As the opening chords of battle rolled across Europe, I had already been called back to the colours, and I was immediately put in charge of the Army's School of Music at Kneller Hall. The situation was grim, I can tell you, son. There was my old team playing instruments that had long ago been discarded by our enemies. My lads were risking their embouchures on brass instruments that were obsolete in 1918, son. While the enemy, on the other hand, were rehearsed to a man, trained to concert pitch, and equipped with the very latest instruments that Hun ingenuity could devise. When I saw those bands marching down the Unter den Linden, I knew that we were in for a long and bitter struggle for musical supremacy.
What about your own men, Captain?
Well, as usual, British politicians had unscrupulously cut the British Army's musical budget to the bone. Even our royal trumpeters had to practice with their mouthpieces only. Their trumpets were too valuable to risk on rehearsal. And as for the new recruits, well, of course, The spirit as always was willing, but the instruments were whatever we could get hold of. Magnificent spirit, wasn't it? But by 1940, the tempo had changed. Long and exhausting rehearsals had brought my men up to the pitch where they could face the enemy with a chance. Lease lend from our friends in the United States had brought us new instruments, some of which even worked. Then the intermezzo was over, and we were thrown straight into the battle symphony, North Africa. Right, lads. Colonel Bogey it is. Key of C. Blasted sand gets everywhere. Oh, yes. Take five to oil your instruments, lads. We must be prepared. The enemy may launch a major musical offensive at any moment. Keep your eyes peeled and your ears open for the opening bars of the Ride of the Valkyries. They won't be far off here.
Something over there, sir.
Well. Oh, yes, sir, lads. It's an advanced musical sniper.
So, damn it, lads. Keep as tacit as you can. This looks like the beginning of a sneak attack.
Great Scott! Take cover, lads! It's the Stukas! Get your instruments out of sight! Hang on, lads! Here they come! Anyone hurt, Sergeant Major?
Well, indeed, to goodness, nobody, sir. All prayers are that correct, sir.
Lads, it looks like the concert is warming up.
Good heavens.
Over there. It's an unexploded German double bass. Sergeant Major, I want a volunteer to help me defuse it.
I'll volunteer, sir. I did a course on German violas and stringed booby traps.
Good, Sergeant Major. Follow me. Yes. Well, Sergeant Major, is it live?
It's live, sir. A la breve time.
You handle it alone, Sergeant Major.
I'll say, sir.
Oh, that's a common type, sir.
Careful, Sergeant Major.
Don't worry, sir. You're right.
Oh, yes, I'll help you. Cut that and then cut that. Oh, no trouble at all. Cut that one.
It's defused, sir!
Dear God! Oh, dear. Well. Come on, lads. They must have heard that last chord. They'll be attacking at any moment. Moderato, chaps. Moderato. Right, men. Are we all in tune?
Yes, sir.
Wait till you see the whites of their trombone mutes.
Alle, the musicians, what fun! Halt!
Ach so. Da freut sich ein Tommy Orchester und der General Beatby. Feuer und Klave von Sie, Konzerten Pigeon.
Weiter so. Fire, smoke in E-flat, wirklich, ja? Right, man. It's the British Grenadiers and then a dead segue into Colonel Bogey. We're the one. A two, a one, two, three, one. It's an airdrop, lads, an airdrop. Great, my body boys. Green light. Great and strict rotation of our castle president. Trombone, out. Trumpet, out! Drummer, out! Fight, out! That leaves me out!
Hey, Major McDonald reporting, sir.
Hey, good. Pipe it up. Well done, well done. Certainly could use your airdrop. Colonel Bogey in the QC. Lead the advance, Sergeant Major.
Very good, sir.
Straight to Venus.
Oh, you hurt, oh, Sergeant.
Hey, take care of my pipes, you hear?
Never mind, Sergeant Major. Lead the attack with this cornet.
Thank you very much indeed, sir. Play the cornet like it's never been played before, sir.
My God, I'll recommend that man for the Royal Academy of Music's gold medal. Forward, lad! Forward the guard! Headed the great attack at El Alamein. The battle began with you. We could hardly see each other in the thick smoke. Soon it was all over. V-Day was upon us, and the lads came marching home to a triumphant good old welcome.
And now you're in retirement, General B.
Yes, indeed.
And your men, sir, your old battle comrades? What's happened to them?
Ah, yes, the men. They're still together, enjoying the rewards that a grateful British government always gives to her war heroes.
Spirit penny for the heroes of their element.
Thank you very much. Call the little lady back.